The Pledge of Allegiance and an invocation after that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you might join me for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we see the activities taking place in our country. We see the division, and we see those who would try to solve problems in their mind by using violence. We pray against any violence that might take place here in our country. We pray for law and order, as your wishes and intents certainly are for us. Father, give the leaders of our country wisdom and those who protect people who are in positions of power, and grant us all the wisdom that we might have to make decisions that would be pleasing to you. And tonight, decisions for the benefit of the majority of the people in Brown County. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Are there any additions, changes to the agenda?
Nope.
I don't know.
In addition to the agenda, I believe at the last meeting I brought up the comprehensive plan for the county, and I thought we scheduled a report on that for this meeting.
I don't have a report for it.
Okay.
But I could table it till the next one and have it
be
for sure.
Would be tabled, would
yes, that's capable.
Okay, I understand that next Tuesday the Area Plan Commission
yes.
is going to meet with the folks that responded to the RFP.
Yes.
Yeah, that
yes.
would be good.
Is that okay?
Oh,
and then
yeah,
we
yeah.
can report on it at our next meeting.
Okay, great.
Okay, so
thank
it's in
you.
Ours. Okay.
As far as the claims go, the only thing I want to make contingent is on the commissioner's side, the Bagatelli, Ms. Powell, there's a $1,110 bill. Just make it contingent that the claim was dated for 23, and then go ahead and pay it. The rest of them I'm good with. I'm good with the minutes. You entertain a motion?
Yes, absolutely.
I make a motion we pass the minutes and the claims.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. We will then move right on into the agenda. And the first thing up is the ATV-UTV ordinance final reading and vote. So we've had a number of meetings, a couple of public hearings. We had the first reading last week. It would have been 2 weeks ago, except we had a death in the community that we canceled the commissioner's meeting and put it off for a week. So we're not trying to fast track this. It's been on the minds of people for years. We simply followed the law and the timeline that's permitted to look at this. We've made every effort we can, public notice. I know there have been some complaints from people who are opposed to it, that they didn't know about it. Everyone's had the same opportunity. Those who are for it, those who are against it, everyone's had the same opportunity from the announcements that we have made about this issue. And so there's always some who don't know what's going on, or don't find out what's going on. And that's not unusual in county government, because most of the time county government is boring. And that's why we don't have a lot of people in our regular meetings. But when something controversial comes up, it becomes a different situation. But I would say that we've been as fair as we could be as far as notice, because everybody got the same notice, whether you're for or against it. We weren't doing anything to try and influence those who learned about it, except to try and contact all people, make people aware, and invited them to our meetings and public hearings. Before we proceed with this, once again, I would allow 10 minutes or so for comment
either for or against this ordinance. I think it's only fair that every time we've met, I've done that, I will do that tonight. And if you would like to speak, please keep it very brief, come to the microphone, identify yourself, and we'll go from there. If anyone who'd like to come forward, do so at this time.
Yeah, my name's Rick Haynes, I live at 5715 Three Knots Road. I've got a few head of cattle. I have a side-by-side that I run from hayfield to hayfield, keep it clean, and I see nothing wrong. I spent $45 for your sticker that they sold me here, and I don't see why they don't recognize it. I'd like to see y'all get this taken care of, because giving somebody a ticket, that's a bunch of baloney, but I think you ought to come up with an idea about taking these bicycles and making them buy a damn sticker or something, put a plate on. But anyway, I use mine on the road. I put the fence, I go to the hay fields. So that's all I got to say, because when it gets wet, you can't take your four-wheel drive truck and go out in these fields. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Chuck Braxton. I live out on Decker Bridge Road. Yeah, I see some smiling faces here. Anyway, you know, it's probably going to make me real unpopular, but I'm a former EMT. That's one of the things that I did, as well as a human resources safety manager, all that kind of good thing. Living out on the road that I do, I've come extremely close to killing people, not wanting to. But because on get out on a gravel road, kick up that dust, or you come off an embankment and drop down in front of somebody on a dirt bike or an ATV or whatever, who's at fault? I'm not looking to kill somebody. But I guarantee you, even though I'm an EMT, I'm probably not going to stop and go back and try and help you if you do some stupid thing like that. That's just plain stupidity. There's no need whatsoever for ATVs and dirt bikes, for example, to be out on the roads. They're not equipped for it. They're not meant for it. I've been made to stay on my own property with my vehicles. I have a Brown County ATV. That's, for those of you who don't recognize that, that's a lawnmower with the mower deck taken off. But anyhow, you know, and it comes in real handy. But, you know, you're just asking for it when you get out on the roads with that equipment. I understand farming. My grandparents farmed. I've driven combines and all that kind of thing on county roads and all that kind of stuff. But hey, these ATVs, they have no place out there. They're dangerous. And everybody that wants to fight the helmet laws, you know, they fought that with motorcycles and all that stuff too. But, you know, you pick a few people up off the ground, off the dirt, bleeding. You try and stop the bleeding, and you try and put the brain matter back in their head and that kind of thing. You do that a few times, you'll realize that's stupid.
All right, thank you, sir. Next.
My name is Jim Malden, 7517 Grizzly Drive, Quarter Sweetwater. And I just like to say I'm for it. As everyone knows, we already have these in 79 of the 92 counties in Indiana. And other counties have gravel roads, they have the same roads, same hills as we do. The Indiana DNR has done a good job of putting together rules for all counties to follow, that's the minimum. And we can follow those. And we've looked at what's happened in other counties, and we're not seeing all the problems that the other side is predicting. And I just like to say, I'm for it. Thank you.
I'm trying to hide you. Chris Bishop.
Can you
Chris Township, 205 Sanctuary Lane, Octonio Road. I have a question more than anything, because I'm neither for nor against. I'm just trying to figure this out, because I was one of the latecomers, having just moved here not too long ago, but I grew up here my whole life. My question is, what is the situation for citizens that live upon privately maintained roads with gravel disbursement, ruts, and other damage that can occur from ATVs going off track, going back and forth? I did read in the ordinance, it said something about signage being provided. Is that something where the citizens on that privately maintained road can contact the commissioner's office to have a sign put there that says, no ATV traffic here? Or is that something where that's going to be put back on the property owner's recourse to have to take care of that road after damage has been done to it?
Did you say it's a private road?
Yes.
The county don't maintain it?
Correct.
Well, I don't know why you couldn't put a sign on it that said that.
So I can put a sign on and it's legal?
That'd be my thought, but we'll check with legal to make sure.
Okay.
I'm no attorney.
I mean, that's, you know, I would hope common sense would dictate that somebody would see something like that and not do it, but you're also asking an awful lot.
We know that you can put up a no trespassing sign.
Sure.
And anyone who trespasses on private property, whether it's a road or whatever it is, would be breaking the law. And that would be a law enforcement issue, you know.
So, like, Sanctuary Lane has four or five houses or residences off of it. We all maintain the road, you know, pay for the gravel to be put back and get it graded and stuff like that.
Unless legal contradicts me, and I'll ask Mike here, I don't know why you couldn't put up a sign that says no ATVs, UTVs.
Okay.
And as we go along, if there's issues on certain roads, the commissioners may come back and take and have those roads removed or restricted to where the ATVs can't be on. If there's problems.
Which is in it?
Correct.
It's in the ordinance, okay. Yes. Uh-huh.
All right.
So we have a trouble spot where the people are doing things they aren't supposed to be doing, and on an off-road and on a private property, creating havoc. We can single out a certain area, road, and make that off-limits to the vehicles.
Yeah, it's not really the residents of the county itself I'm worried about. It's, you know, the people that come down for a weekend, and they're not worried about what they tear up because they don't live here. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I heard the reading of the law. It actually seemed like it was reasonably well written. I'm just a little uncomfortable with the end that says this law will supersede and anything that gets in the way basically is automatically rescinded. Do we know exactly? I don't think there's anything that gets affected by it, but that always makes me uncomfortable in the law. So I just, you know, I'm sure you had the legal department check on that, but I was just curious. That seems like someone is shortcutting their homework to finish it that way, but just a thought.
Okay. Got Mike,
can you answer that?
Yeah. Mike, would you like to address that?
The typical language will put in ordinance essentially says if there was another ordinance that dealt with ATVs of this matter, that ordinance would no longer stand. This ordinance would replace it. So it's pretty typical to include that language.
Yeah, I understand it's typical. I just think it's, you know, someone not doing their homework to find out what is actually going to be affected. But I'm trusting that you guys have got it. I can't think of anything that would be affected by it, but I don't know all the ordinances as yet. So anyway, thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And next, the microphone.
Paul Hazelwood, Twin Lake Road. I just wanted to tell you guys thank you for taking your time to hear this process. It's been a long road. I know you guys have had a lot of feedback, good and bad. I think from the crowd, I would assume that we have a large gathering of supporters. I don't really know who supports it. Yeah. That should tell you the majority that are participating in the meetings are for it versus, you know, we're going to always have opposers. It's not that their opinion doesn't matter, but this case is for the majority one, that's what the commissioners are here for, the county government is for, is to support the majority of the people, not their independent opinions. Thank you, guys.
Anyone else? And I appreciate you giving your address, because that lets us know you're a Brown County person, not somebody coming in from outside. We don't care about the outsiders right now. We want to know what Brown County people want.
I'm Mary Blake. I live in Hamlin Township. I am opposed to this because I see it every day. The blind hills I pop over and someone's on my side of the road. Also considering breakdowns, there's no berm on the road for them to pull off and make repairs. There's no service stations out in the county should they forget they run out of gas. And they can do that if a person can forget their gun is in their luggage before they go to the airport. I have a blind corner. I take my life in my hands every time I pull out and make a left-hand turn. Trucks, trash trucks, deliveries, logging trucks, when they come around that corner near me, they use that as a drag strip to the next corner. I pray that anybody that gets out on the roads at least knows what they're doing. I hope it doesn't happen in my area. Thank you.
Okay.
Chair, may I say something else on behalf of...
After everybody else is
there. Sure. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else, please? Okay.
Kyle Wagers, 1361 Creamer Road. Kind of pick up where she left off. The big trucks and stuff, I drive one of those big trucks every day, back and forth. A lot of the brand new roads, my truck will not fit from the white line to the yellow line. It's usually sticking over the yellow line about a foot. I'd much rather be on a side-by-side, pass one of those trucks, than being my personal vehicle and do it. So, I'm all for it.
Anyone else? For or against?
I'm Herbert Mandelman. I live at 1846, State Road 45, Homeport, Indiana. I'm for it. I just want to get that in. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir. Hello, Chris Farmer, 9781 North Hastown Road. I spoke the last meeting that we had at 6 o'clock. I am also for it. Just wanted to put that out there again.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay.
Jim Burgess, 6548 Badger Drive, Sweetwater, Cordry. I'm a retired firefighter, EMT for 33 years. I've seen lots of brain manner. I picked up a ton of it myself. It's no difference than riding a slingshot or a Mini Cooper or something else on the road compared to these ORVs. A Mini Cooper is actually a little bit smaller, I think. But I'm all for it.
Anyone else?
When the public's all done, I'd like to weigh in.
Okay, sure. Chuck, unless we have anyone else. Would you like to speak, sir? Yeah, we'll come forward. I gave Chuck the opportunity to make a second comment at the end.
Okay. Chad Lowe, 6983 Amber Drive, Sweetwater, Indiana, and I'm for the ordinance.
Okay. Anyone else? Not anyone else. Chuck, you got 1 minute.
Thank you. I just wanted to add to my comments. I've ridden motocross for back when Stony Littleton first opened. So it's not like I'm opposed to off-roading and that kind of thing. So get that out of your mind. But what I really wanted to talk about this time is I was notified of this meeting by my mail person. And I'm not going to say who that is because I don't want to get him any backlash. But his comments to me this afternoon were he can't believe that they're wanting to do this because he drives those back roads all the time making deliveries. He sees what I see all the time, the ATVs out on the gravel road
pay no attention to anything, pulling wheelies, all kinds of stupid stuff. And he doesn't want to kill anybody either. But you know, you just can't fix stupid.
Sir.
Thank you. Anyone else?
About to the end of our 10 minutes.
Yeah, my name's Rick Haynes again, but I forgot to mention, my side to side, and probably everybody else's, got turn signals, brake lights, horn, whole nine yards. And, you know, I run down the road with my headlights on, saying these new cars that when you turn the key, your lights come on automatically. So that's all I got to say, that my eyes are safe.
Okay.
Anyone new? Anyone who hasn't spoken would like to? If not, Commissioner Sanders would like to have a time to express his views on this. Go ahead, sir.
I see some almost lifetime friends out in the audience that's for this. I've gotten phone calls from friends that's asked me to vote for this. I'm going to tell you up front, I oppose it. We're a bedroom community, elderly people, tourists. I actually believe this will probably pass tonight, and it's going to be up to Yuns to be good stewards and not cause problems. And it comes the first of the year that we have a bunch of problems, that the tourists are a problem on them, they're tearing up property, people are complaining, then I will be making a motion to repeal it. So y'all be good stewards, and if this was just for county residents, I'd be voting for it. Okay? So, I don't mean to make you all mad, but that's where I'm at. And we keep getting more and more people sending stuff in, saying they're opposed to it. Even the sheriff said that his concerns with the ATV, UTV, his concerns were non-residents coming here and running their ATVs and tearing up property. So, I suggest if you see somebody, are you with somebody and they're out there going on other people's property and stuff, you know, kind of police yourselves, you know, say, hey, this is not going to work. You're going to cause us problems. So be good stewards and we'll see what happens.
Now, did the sheriff say he opposed it or did not oppose it?
Well, what I got from a county commissioner meeting in minutes, it says that he didn't have a problem with basically what I just said. If it was for the residents, he'd be good with it. But since we get federal money on our roads, they're saying that we can't. So his concerns were non-residents coming here and tearing up the property. That's what I'm saying. You know, be good stewards.
Well, I just asked because it sounded like when you said that, you said even the sheriff said, but he didn't say he's for or against. It sounded like you were saying
well, it says that he didn't have a problem if it was non-residents.
Okay.
But his concerns was, you know, the out-of-towners coming here and going wild. So if you're in groups or whatever and you're out doing this, you know, you're going to have to police yourselves for now.
We would hope that you work with the community to correct the ordinance and make changes to address it before you got to the point of repeal, then it turns into a county lawsuit. We wouldn't want to have to sue you with the county.
Well, if you're threatening to sue me...
I'm not threatening. I'm just saying, you know, let's work together and find solutions to the issue that we don't know that exists yet.
Because let me just wise you all up. Once you threaten to sue the commissioners, they're done talking to you. It's just our policy. So watch what you say.
Is there a problem now when you say running through property? Does that mean like rental property? Or is there a problem now with ATVs, UTVs, motorcycles?
I don't know. I see.
With the sheriff saying that, I just wonder.
You'd have to ask the sheriff. Folks, I see ATVs going down the road, golf carts and stuff. I don't call the police because they're cruising down the road. They're not being a real problem.
I had a Jeep on my property that didn't belong to me. Somebody running around on my property in a Jeep that lives here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not going to make any difference whether it's a Jeep, an ATV, or whatever. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it.
I just wonder if most of the time if it's out of county or if it's one. So the things that most rental properties, most management corporations here in the county community
have a clause that they're not allowed to have ATV and UTVs on the rental properties.
And they can call.
So, you, yeah. So, I don't know that that would change with this ordinance, but that they don't want people tearing up their yards and their lawns and doing those sorts of things either. So, that usually with those clauses, but it's not a mandated situation.
All right, thank you.
I just have a question about the process. I'm really ignorant on this. If the vote, or the vote taken this evening by the commissioner, does that enact the ordinance, or does it have to go to county council? Or, I really don't know.
No, it's probably going to happen tonight.
Well, I but
just by way of explanation,
Thank you.
County commissioners are your executive branch of county government.
Okay.
We are the ones who are responsible for all the property the county owns. We're responsible for negotiating contracts. We're responsible for enacting and possibly repealing any ordinances that have been passed that affect people in the county. The county council is the fiscal arm of government. It's more like the House of Representatives in that they control the money. But if they do not make decisions about this or any other matters, contract or ordinance. So it's very important who you vote for commissioner.
The one thing that people need to also rule, when COVID went through, the governor actually made home rule to your commissioners. So your commissioners actually, if there was a pandemic and they wanted to plow up the roads and say that no one could come to Brown County, they have the right to do so. So know that whoever is your commissioners, they do have home rule, which means they even home rule over the governor. So you need to stay involved and active with your community.
Thank you.
Quick question.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be registered. So it's not like when we say out-of-towners, we're not talking people from Kentucky and Tennessee or anything like that coming here. They'll still have to be an Indiana state resident. Right, like they'll have to have the BMV registration. So, like, I just making sure clear. See if we were.
A lot of states, I believe, are reciprocal, though. I don't know if that's true with Indiana, but some states may be reciprocal. If you got a permit from another state, I'm not saying you can, but you may. They may be able to come here. That needs to be addressed by the attorney.
Okay.
Yes, that's something I had not heard. Talked about before, Mike Mogar, counsel, maybe you could address that. I wasn't aware that it had to be an Indiana resident who could get a permit to ride in Brown County. But is that correct or not?
It does not have to be an Indiana resident, but it does have to be registered with the BMV. From our, as I recall, I'm looking at the ordinance now, or not the ordinance, the statute now, but it does have to be registered with the BMV, and I do not know of anything that the BMV says you have to be an Indiana resident to get an ATV registered, though.
No.
I think that'd be the BMV, so we'd have to look with them or ask them.
So one more question while you're on there. I asked this question to the other commissioners because I didn't know last time. Do we know where the fine money is going to go?
The fine money?
The fine. Not the money where you get the permit at the BMV, that goes to the Indiana Off-Road Fund, but if they get fined for not being properly legal, do you know where the money goes from the fines? Does that go to back to the county, sheriff?
Yep, that'd go back to the county.
That goes to the prosecutor's office.
Just be like any other ticket. You're speeding and you get
just
a ticket.
Just like for a car, yep.
So, hopefully we don't have too many fines because everybody behaves themselves. But if they misbehave, then they pay the price. That's the way the system of law works. And as far as, you know, I don't know that I've ever heard of any complaints, and there may have been, you'd have to ask the law enforcement people, about people bringing ATVs and trespassing on private property. This is something totally different than riding on the road. I haven't heard of that. Now, there are cases, of course. Julie did, in fact, enumerate one there. But You know, that's not been a problem, people bringing in ATVs and trespassing on
private. We don't have any ATV trails. There's really no reason for them to bring an ATV here. Because we don't have ATV trails. These guys all live here. They're gonna do what they need to do here. But if you're going to bring, why would you bring an ATV here when you don't have a trail to ride it on?
You don't have an ATV park.
Yeah, we don't have an ATV park. We don't have anything like that.
Would you like to come down on Decker Bridge Road, and I'll introduce you to some individuals that come here every year and go riding out. They usually end up out on the Lake Monroe property, but they go across those of the rest of us that live down there and county property to get there. Also Yellowwood. They, one set lives in California, and they have a guest house here. Another set lives in over by Cincinnati. They come over here, and I'm not sure where the other bunch is from, but they're riding the roads out there all the time, and they go back there, and you can talk to Bo Brink or any of the other officers you want to talk to. They'll tell you that those being out on the road, and the first thing they do is come down to the access points. If that's somebody's property, they go right across it and ride on in. Back there, and yeah, they're breaking the law, but you know what? We don't have enough officers to do anything about it.
They're going to do it anyway.
It's your property.
Okay.
It's your property.
Let me say one thing here. Let me say something. There are always people who will not obey the law. They will bend it, make it work for whatever they want to do. And I don't believe that we should deprive the law-abiding citizens of their ability to do what they want to do. Because of the bad apples. I could make an analogy, I probably shouldn't, about guns. But some people want to do away with all guns because some people shoot people. And yet, 99% of the American people who have firearms are very responsible with them. I don't think we should penalize the law-abiding citizens in a situation where someone may abuse it. And that's why we have law enforcement. And I can understand why maybe law enforcement would be hesitant about this, because it's going to make work for them. Some, we hopefully not much, but it's their charge in order to enforce the laws. In this case, in county level, your commissioners make the laws, and we do not enforce them. That's up to law enforcement. And as I said, there have been many issues in my experience so far in your commissioner for almost 8 years where something has been proposed and it becomes controversial and there are people that are against it for it. And as I can recall, for the most part, everything that has been proposed that went through has ultimately turned out to be a non-issue. There was discussion over the library, whether we should build a library or not. There was discussion over the jail, whether we should build a new jail or not. Discussion over the music center, whether it should be built or not, and as it was. And everybody has their opinion, and they're entitled to it. But in the end, the proof will be in the pudding. If we pass this, and a year from now or 2 years from now, we have this horrible mess in Brown County. I would hope that the future commissioners, I'm done December 31st, and I'm happy to have served you. I'll also be happy to not serve you. But if it becomes a problem, it can be repealed. And in fact, if it causes a mess that's not controllable, then I'd probably vote for repeal. Don't think that's going to happen. It hasn't happened in 79 other counties, so I'm tipping my hand. I'm in favor of it, and I'm in favor of it because... Let me tell you why I'm in favor of it. I was not necessarily in favor of it in 2018 when it was last brought up. I was a commissioner then. I had two different commissioners with me at that time, and they were not ready to move forward with it. And I didn't push it, because at that point in time, it seemed to be about half and half. Half the citizens wanted it, half didn't. And I have had the philosophy in my years of being a commissioner that I listen to the majority of the people. I listen to everyone, but I listen to the majority of people as to what they want. because I represent you. I represent all of you. But I have to lean towards the, what the majority of people want, as long as it doesn't contradict anything legal or my standards or whatever. I think that I'm one of those who says I think we should be able to do anything we want to as long as it doesn't hurt our neighbor or cause trouble. You know, that we don't have a situation in our Constitution where it dictates what you can and can't do. You can do anything you want to unless it's against the law, okay? So that's freedom. That's part of the price that we paid for liberty in this country. And for the many, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of our citizens who've given their life for that freedom. And so I'm basing my thoughts and my decision on the will of the majority of the people. I know I won't make everybody happy. I never have. I never would. No commissioner ever will. But you elect those that you think will do the best job and be fair. And I've tried to be fair about this. And I appreciate everyone's concern coming out, both those for and against, because I've heard what some of the downsides could be, and I appreciate that very much, because I want to have all the information I can get before I make a decision. I want to make a good decision for you. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. So anybody, you got anything, Blake or Ron, anything more?
Well, before I read this, I do have something to say. You want to say something else? Yeah.
I'm good for the moment.
Okay. Okay. I certainly appreciate this young lady out here that is concerned about, like we all are, about nobody getting hurt, and this gentleman too. Here's the thing. Anytime I leave my driveway out on Bear Wallow with my truck, my Jeep, my motorcycle, I'm taking a risk, but you know what that is? That's my freedom. I know how to accept responsibility for what I'm doing. And is there a chance somebody's going to come around too fast and run over me? Absolutely. But that's my choice. So what I'm saying is I don't see a whole lot of difference. Now, the bicycles, and I've got a son that's been in bicycles all his life. He was actually won the little 500 one year. So bicycles up and down the road. Now, if you think the bicycle is safer to be out there than one of these well-protected side-by-sides, I would probably disagree. So anyhow, this is just a personal freedom that, now, and let me say this. Back in 2008, when I was commissioner, it came up, and we had a room full of COs. We had the sheriff's department here. Everybody was against it. And the majority of the folks were against it. And guess what? So it didn't go anywhere. This is a whole different day. No COs, no sheriff, other than the ones that I've talked to in surrounding counties have had no problem with this. So all I'm saying is, there's a chance that you can take some personal responsibility, act like you got some sense. Now, as far as the ability for the sheriff's department and law enforcement to be able to secure every single thing that they do wrong, they can't do that with anybody. I mean, right now, right? So reality versus perception is all I'm saying. And so we got a room full of people. Everybody that's contacted me in the last couple of months overwhelmingly says this is the time to do this. That's just getting feedback from the constituency. Okay? So that's all I got.
Thank you, Blake. I would just add one thing to that also. I'm a little troubled by some people who would say that I'm for this ordinance because I'm not going to be commissioner December 31st. I am not acting any differently or thinking any differently because I am retiring from this position at the end of the year. I'm not here to push anything through that I wouldn't be in favor of anyway. This is my conviction about it. And I intend to serve you as your commissioner until December 31st in the best capacity I can, as I have for the last 7.5 years. And I will not take on any issues that I think I could ram through because I'm going out. That's not the case at all. That's not me, okay? Thank you very much. Unless there's any further discussion, I'd entertain a motion.
Well, Blake's got to read that first.
Yeah.
Mike, does he have to read the entire thing, or does he just have to read the title?
So he does not have to read the entire thing. You can say that the ordinance is the same as what was read in first reading last week. And that you can refer to the minutes for the exact language. And then if you'd like, Blake can give an overview of the ordinance one last time.
Okay.
Okay, so I'd say that those were here last time and went through the excruciating pain of having me read the whole ordinance. They won't have to do that again right now, but I would say that we will, I submit to you the ordinance as it's written, and it was as it was read, and anything else I need to say, Mike?
Do the title.
Okay, this is an ordinance establishing rules and regulations for the operation of off-road vehicles in Brown County, Indiana.
And this is the same ordinance that's been advertised, has been distributed, and been available for many weeks.
Yep. Okay, now you can make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we do table it until the first of the year when the new commission's coming in. I can handle it, folks. I get it every day. Pardon? Pardon?
Nice man.
Sounds like a good idea.
Do I hear a second? Having not heard a second, I would say that your motion is dead.
I'll second it.
Please. You're not on the council, I'm sorry.
All right, Blake, you're up.
So does that die for lack of a second?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll make...
entertain a motion again.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we accept the ordinance as has been read and written, and so be that.
Do I hear a second? Not hearing a second, I will use my prerogative to second that motion. So is there any discussion? No further discussion amongst us or anyone else here, apparently. We'll put it to a vote. All those in favor of enacting this ordinance, raise your right hand and say aye. Opposed, same sign. Aye.
Aye.
Nay. All right, folks. It will become law, and I think, as far as I know, it becomes immediately. Thank you all, everyone listening, whether you were for it or against. Thank you for coming out and speaking. That is your opportunity to participate in your local government. And thank you all for your comments.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, if I had a lover, I'd get it.
Okay, we do have other business tonight.
Yes, please.
And I'd like to move forward with that. Next on the agenda is the ADA compliance plan of action, first discussion.
Okay, so this was brought to me from our lovely commissioner's assistant that's walking on a cane right now, because it has happened to me before too, because I also was on crutches. Our doors here do not have the push button so you can get in. We have no ADA accessibility as far as the push buttons. Our doors are all wide enough. All those things are correct. But I would like to start the discussion of making all of the buildings in Brown County government ADA accessible. Because we have this issue at the court. Used to be just to get in the door, but not now because we have the new entrance, thank gosh. But we still have the issues. When I worked at the clerk's office, one day I was sitting in my desk and I could see the door being propped open. I thought it was a child that was trying to get in. When I went around to the corner of the desk, I realized that it was a woman in a wheelchair that was trying to get in, and she was pushing the door with her wheelchair so she could get in the heavy door in the clerk's office. So I think that this is something that has been needed for a long time, and so I did tell our assistant that I would bring this and that we could start the discussion. So, that's what
You know, we've struggled, of course, with ADA since the beginning, because so many of our facilities were not designed for it originally, such as our courthouse. But this is one thing I think we can do that will help our ADA compliance that we can do. Certainly, these doors to this should have the push button so somebody in a wheelchair can hit the button and get through both doors and right on the end.
Yeah, because we have the elevator, so they could go to the elevator and get down and get into the other room.
Absolutely, we do have the elevator, and I believe the new security entrance at the courthouse has the
equipment.
Mm-hmm. That still doesn't give them everything we should have inside the courthouse, but it's a historic building. We can't tear it down and rebuild it, so we do want the best we can. But I'm certainly in favor of pursuing this.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't had you know, that, and I'm not sure, I mean, maybe it's more expensive than I think it would be, but I'm guessing that it's not going to be cost prohibitive to put the push button thing to open the door.
Well, I think that actually it has to come in a frame. I think they'll have to change the doors all the way out because the frame system is what opens and shuts the doors, but I don't know the cost of those, but I would like the opportunity to find out. And let's see where it goes.
Nothing money won't cure. But when you start thinking about lawsuits, it might not be that big a deal.
That's right.
You just talk to county council.
Okay.
Get them to come up with that money.
Yeah, okay.
as county government, we need to do everything we can to comply with the federal laws. Some things are almost impossible. I mean, the elevator in the courthouse is too small, and there's not a lot we can do about it without spending $1 million and tearing part of the courthouse out. But there are a lot of things we can do, and this is something we can do, and the more we do, I think the less liability we have from both regulators and citizens who are affected by it. So
I think DLZ said something about an elevator costing a couple $100,000. And if you're actually building the building, that's the time to put it in.
That's right. You're exactly right.
But nothing's cheap nowadays.
Nope.
It's always a lot more to go back and tear one out and put a bigger one in, too. So that might be double the $200,000. Thankfully, we have an elevator here. At least we have an elevator in the courthouse. Mm-hmm. Better than nothing. I guarantee you I could get a wheelchair in that elevator. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. You can't turn around in there.
You should have took an elevator that day that I suggested to you. And you fell down the stairs.
There you go.
I had to catch you. Y'all don't think I don't like Harry, man. I done saved his life at least once. Because I knew if he fell, I'd get blamed for it.
We may disagree, but we're friends. Yeah, I'd recommend we pursue that, get the prices on it, and believe, of course, we'll talk to county council. That, I think, would be something that could possibly be incorporated into the general obligation bond.
Well, we have an ADA line of $5,000 that we have not used in multiple years. It's just rolled itself right on down into the cash balance. So we just so happen to have somebody on our staff now that knows how to get those many years, and we'll figure it out and ask for that appropriation to come from the bond.
There you go. That would be a start.
Okay.
Certainly not what it's going to cost, but that'd be a start, sure.
Okay.
Plus, there's got to be a pile of money out there somewhere for this kind of thing.
Well, I think that Whitney could probably also help us with it.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to meet with her next week, so I'll bring it up.
Very good.
We meet after, just so you guys know that now that we have retained ARA, Teresa will be doing it, but we will be meeting with her the following Thursday after your meetings on Wednesday. So we will go over whatever was mentioned in the meetings and those sorts of things. And then she just has this list of lovely things that can apply to the needs that we want. So that way we are going for a grant first before we go for our cash first. So, yes. It's wonderful. So, and I also wanted to bring up, it's not on the agenda. I guess I could have added it to the agenda, but so we talked about the housing improvement coming through by August. We're not going to be able to do it by August because they raised it from $250,000 to $500,000, and no longer does anyone have to have a lien on their home. But the requirements are a little bit heftier on our paperwork, and so we couldn't get it done within this quarter, but we will get it done in the next quarter, and it's going to be on Teresa's radar because then it's on Donna's. So.
That also doubled our match.
Yes, it does.
27 to like 54.
That's why we have to take it back before council. We have to do all that stuff again, and we didn't have a time to do it by the end of July. So,
okay. Anything further on
88? Nope.
If not, we'll move on to Parks and Rec.
Okay, that's me again. Mark was going to be here tonight, but he has fallen ill today. What the problem is whenever they did the early voting at Parks and Rec, they removed a wall to be able to make the area of the voting large enough for everybody to come in and out like they were supposed to. But that has diminished the privacy of one of their employees. Like, his office is no longer an office. He has to have like a barrier thing
like
that's up between.
Kitchen.
Yeah, it's like part of the kitchen. Okay, his office is. They checked with maintenance, and maintenance still has most of all of that wall. Like, they cut the two befores and all everything that built that wall, so it wouldn't cost that much to put it back up. So they would like to know that they have permission to put that back up.
I'm good with it. If they need to buy some more.
Okay. It's not a very big wall.
That's something our maintenance men can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they took it down. They can take it back. They can put it back up.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Perfect.
All right.
All right.
Do we need to take a motion on that? Or
we
just
take a motion on that?
I'll make a motion that they put the wall back up.
Second.
If they need it, spend a little bit more money, then spend a little bit more money.
Second that, too. What else?
Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay. So the next thing that's on the agenda is Creekstone Resort property. I know that I was asked by Commissioner Wolpert, because we've been looking at the fact that those are beautiful buildings out there with a lot of useful items that are out there, but that has been deeded to the fire department. So that is something that you will have to ask the fire department about. So we are not allowed to discuss it in an admin meeting of all three of us until we discuss it in open forum, so I'm just bringing it out to light. So
I'm a little bit confused about the ownership of that. It's been said that it's given to the fire department, and yet it's been said that the county commissioners also own it.
Whose insurance is it on? Whose insurance?
don't know, Mike, do you know anything about this, Mike Mogul?
No. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I haven't discussed it with you, but what authority does the commissioners have over that property? Any?
So it's actually, it was the town's. Sandy said that it was the town's, but then it got deeded over to the Brown County Fire Department. So if there's something that you want to do differently, we could have them come in for a meeting and talk to them about it. Because they also feel like it's a blight issue too, town of Nashville does. And lots of the citizens have made a lot of comments about that property out there and the view of it and what it looks like. So yeah.
So that's the town of Nashville.
Mm-hmm. But just right at the beginning of the city limit.
Yeah.
Just go down to the coroner's office and have them pull it up, say whose name is
on it. It's on the fire department's name.
It sounds like they own it.
They do, but if you want to do anything different with it, you would want to talk to them. That's just what I'm saying. And if you do, then we can set up a meeting and you guys can talk to them.
Well, what I was thinking is we went out and looked at it, and instead of burning it down, which I've seen them do that when they were making progress on 69 and all that, they'd buy folks this beautiful homes and use it as a training ground and burn them down. And they may well do that there. But there's just an awful lot of value there to just be able to squander that. I mean, I was out there a couple of times looking at it, and I didn't know about auctions.
We wanted to talk to you about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's quasi-real estate, plus there's like, I mean, all kinds of stuff out there. I mean, the air conditioning units, water, I mean, plus I don't know how much trouble it is to get the used brick out of it. But, I mean, fixtures, I mean, there's a lot of value out there.
You know, the fire department needs funds. Maybe if we assist them with that, maybe they can get the funds for themselves and then get rid of the blight issue and also make money off of it for them.
They have to take the roofs off where they can burn. They could burn a lot better if they didn't have brick on the outside.
Right.
I don't know if that's what they want
or not.
Right, I know.
So basically, the town owns that property?
No.
No,
it's the fire department's now.
Okay.
County Fire Department.
They own the property as well?
Yes,
they own the whole
property. I thought the eventual end game on that was going to be to make some kind of really sweet park for, you know, how Sandy Jones always wants to, you know, do this. I'm surprised they just tossed it over there. And so now the fire department's going to have to make a park out of it?
Left no, the fire department.
It was just left to them.
So if they own it, then but then they have to be the ones that have the insurance on it. I don't know particularly how you think the commissioners might own it.
That's just what I had heard. I don't know.
Whenever the FEMA came through and all those floods, right. Everyone had an option to absorb the FEMA money or try to rebuild, which some of them did, because it had come through so many times. They said that there couldn't be house dwellings unless they were raised to be 8 to 12 feet from the ground. There was no way to do that with those apartments. So that's where the FEMA situation came into. And somehow, and I don't know exactly the entire route of that, but it ended up being deeded to the Brown County Fire Department.
The Nashville's fire department, just one fire department?
No, I don't know.
Or is all of
it? It just says Brown County.
I think it's just the Brown County Fire Department.
It is just the Brown County.
I was out there when the flood went through. I actually went out and met Red Cross there, and there was nobody there that day, so I was able to take Red Cross out into the Jackson Township, take them around. What I remember was back then, FEMA told them not to go in and pull the walls down and drywall because the first floor was flooded. But then after that, I remember something about them renting the upstairs of it out.
So something happened to that.
That is probably done. You know, I don't know at what point the fire department's going to say that they're done with it, but if they own it, it's kind of up to them.
Right.
That's how I see it.
I'm just giving the information.
That's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem talking to them and saying, you know, what's your plan here?
I mean, I guess if they own it, they'd be kind of silly not to make the money on their own, but I'm just, yeah.
Now, they're always struggling with the money. I mean, I thought maybe the first thing they would do would be pull those AC units out, anything else they could sell.
Right. Which is a ton of them out there.
There's no advantage to burning AC units. I mean,
but if they were in flood, they'd still be good.
Yeah.
Well, they must have replaced some of them or got them up and going, because at one time they were actually renting some of them upstairs out.
Yeah. There are water softeners. There are all kinds of stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a treasure trove.
Yeah. Phil McCown, it's my understanding at one time that Jim Schultz and some of the other folks were looking to turn that into a wetlands area, and that there was like 38 acres in total.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's not just the buildings.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I believe because of the flood issues that idea was abandoned.
Well, it's a junkyard now.
Oh,
I mean, it's a blighted junkyard. It's a mess.
It is.
And but nobody's going to do anything with it.
What, 3 or 4 acres of that? And the rest of it is relatively pristine.
Yeah, it used to be, tried to be farmed, but it was too wet.
Yeah.
About the only thing that's ever come off of is some hay. I, in fact, baled hay off of 1 year in exchange for just bush hogging for him. But it is certainly a blighted area. I mean, we're not mowing much of anything.
No,
we've got multiple, way too many cars out there. They're not going to use 30 or 40 cars for practice in extrication, I don't think. And it's really a sore-looking thing. People drive by and they wonder, what is that over there, you know? And I don't know. You know, we could make suggestions to them, at least. If we don't have any authority over, we could talk to them and see if they couldn't at least mow and suggest to them maybe they could raise some money for their department by liquidating some of that stuff that has value.
So. Well, should somebody talk to them, Ron?
No. They own it. Like I said, I don't have a problem with them coming in.
No, I'm just
they
asking.
They come in. Yeah. We can talk to them. We can ask them. You know.
Well, somebody needs to contact them. That's all I'm saying. If they own it, they own it. I'm not. But no, if you go in and ask.
Teresa will contact them and set up an appointment for you guys to just kind of have a little powwow.
I actually know somebody there. I can.
Okay.
I'll reach out.
All right.
We have a lady back here who's had her hand for a while.
When you contact them, would you ask them to take the sign down for the resort? That's the first thing that draws my attention every time I pass.
Right.
Yeah. And there's the junk that says, you're welcome to Brown County's. Right. I agree. It's an open gate to the Brown County, and it does not look well.
Well, you know, and that's the thing I'm talking about. This is the kind of stuff auction people love. I mean, I got people that do nothing but buy big signs. And you could sell that and a ton of the other stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of value out there. But if we don't own it, you know, we just
need to say, hey, find out what they're doing. Find out what their plan is. Say people have got some concerns. You're going to mow it. Jerry, you can cut the hay off of it, can't you?
Well, I did. It doesn't make very good hay. My cows ate it, but the horses
just can't get no good out of it. We just can't get no good out of it.
Yeah.
Next.
Okay.
All right.
Human Resource Commissioner Edmund Melissa Stinson Noel and Teresa Cobain.
Okay, so
Cobain. See, this is the reason that we always call you Cobain, because they always misspell your name. And every time I said it, you go, it's not that. I said, well, spell it.
Is your name misspelled? Is your name misspelled?
Cobain, not Cobain.
I before the A.
Yes, correct. I'm not related to Kurt.
That's not right.
Okay. So, in your packet of stuff that you have with you there, you will find Brown County Career Claims Repricing and Cost Projections. And what you are looking at here is Apex Benefits put us out for bid with an RFP to insurance companies and as a third-party administrator. So for those of you who do not know, Brown County, we own our own insurance company, and we have a third-party administrator that takes in our claims, processes the validity of those, applies the discounts, and then sends us the bill, and it goes through Human Resources. Resources, and then it goes through the auditor's office, and the auditor's office pays the bills. As you can look and see here, we had a bid from SIHO. The very first bid that you see there is 43.7% of a projected discount that we would receive to have SIHO's in core. And with that, that gives us three tiers of coverage: tier one, tier two, and then out of network. The second one you see there is the 53.8, but we're going to skip over it for a minute because we're going to go to the third one. The third one is from Anthem, and it's 53.6%. And then the fourth one is 47%. And let me tell you why I skipped over the one in the middle. The original first three that I just mentioned came to us, and then Apex reapproached SIHO and said, look, Anthem has really given them a deal. 53.6, and actually it was closer to 58, but they went with a smaller number because we don't have a solid number just yet. It will be no lower than 53.6%. And SIHO then said, okay, we'll give you 53.8%, which aggravated me. But then to find out that the reason why they were going to do this for us is they would then take IU Health and make it a tier two and not a tier one network, which means that it's going to cost us more for our people to use IU Health. And I said, no, you don't understand. We just had someone donate money and build an IU Health facility here. Our ambulance is an IU Health. And most of our people go to IU Health. And they said, well, we were just bought out by Community. So Community is our owners, and that they want us to make IU a tier two network. So it is our, it is Apex. We've already had some meetings over this with the commissioners, but it is Apex wishes that they, and their advisement to us is to go with Anthem in year 2025 because their discounts are better. They're offering us a better RX package. There is no tiers. You're either going to an Anthem facility or you're not, and IU is covered by Anthem. It doesn't matter what state you're in. If you're, like we've had it, we just had a big claim come in from Michigan. Someone was taken there for a vacation, injured themselves, and went to the hospital. They're out of network, so we didn't even get our discounts. That won't be that way because the Anthem is all over the world. So
SIHO thought they were going to get that over on you?
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of whoa.
All right, so right now we're still in the negotiations with Anthem because if you look all the way at the bottom dollar, it total cost of fixed options would be 1.56. But you're in the middle, you see there's a $40,000 for the first run because they're going to be managing part of SIHO's things that are that come over in January, February, March, probably even some into July or August of next year. They are saying that they're going to waive that for us and some of the other pharmaceutical charges. So they're working and negotiating with them right now. So we don't have a dead set contract for you to sign tonight. But we would like you to take a vote to let's go with Anthem for 2025. And so because once we click that vote, then we have the, it takes 5 weeks for all of that stuff to get finished and us to get open enrollment so that Teresa and I can do open enrollment for 2025.
You want us to vote on something? We haven't read the contract?
No, just to pursue the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay.
It's the same. The contract will come back before you in just a regular admin meeting because this is a service. It is not something that we have to vote on in public, but it's just common courtesy to public that we are that this is what has happened and where we are.
I believe I'm somewhat caught up.
Yes.
On what's going on. The one thing that, and you probably would have missed it anyway, but since I'm allowed to talk.
You go right ahead.
The $300,000 savings that they said we should save from this.
Yes.
How can we track that to make sure we're getting it?
So what we'll do is that...
Teresa,
pay attention. All right, so what they do is they actually will, because we have a projection. They're tracking right now. We're right on projection as we were last year. We're a little bit higher than what we would like to see because we've had some major big components come in with complainants. But they will give us... We will get to see that. And of course, they do the end of the year. They'll come in with the entourage and have all the paperwork, and you get to see it in a year. One thing that I would like to see is at least a two-year contract, and the reason why I'd like to see that is to get us through 1 year of everybody just figuring it out, because it's the first time we're going to have Anthem. And then the second year, you will be able to negotiate better for your reinsurance. Because if you switch every year when it comes to reinsurance, then reinsurance is after we've spent that's the deductible, for people that don't know, is a $75,000 deductible that each one of us has to make. Once we push through that deductible, reinsurance comes in and pays for everything unless someone has a laser, which that's just a whole other ballgame. Then they come in and they pay for it. But those people are sitting out in the wings, watching our claims, making sure we get our claims paid in on time, that we voted this in, that we're being good stewards of our money, and that we do what they ask us to do, because they send us paperwork all the time to answer questions about people who are ill. As long as we do all that, Anthem has more companies to offer us than even SIHO can.
And this keeps the deducted right now, this year, it'll keep the deductions the same as what we currently are and possibly give our employees lower premium costs. So it would be a win-win. And healthcare is just going to go up.
And we already know that.
So if we could get a two-year, three-year contract out of it, that's...
They're saying, Apex is saying only two. Don't go three, because then you're out of the market.
This all sounds good, and I don't have a problem making a motion to pursue it.
But okay.
Before we sign the contract, I want to read the contract.
Mike will get the contract. You will get the contract.
I'd even like to get a copy of the contract that they left with us, so okay. I can get up to speed, so I'll know what he's talking about.
I have the packet in there.
So,
and you have some stuff.
I don't have
a
problem with, you know, pursuing it. And if I'm understanding this right, what I remember was they were saying that IU would become a second tier, so if it costs $135 normally to go to IU out there, you might have to pay another $15-$20 extra. But if we go this route,
you won't have to pay that extra.
And you can go to IU out there.
That's right.
And Julia, you think this is a good idea?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but before we move forward on the motion, do you want to go ahead with the other part of this about the exempt status changes? Or
no, that's separate. That's a separate issue.
Okay. Then we have a motion on the floor.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
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 Thank you. All right, so now the next thing that's on there, I received from...
This thing?
Yeah, that's actually... No, you hold on to that. That's the light on 46. This is my meeting today, sorry.
This?
Yes, this. All right, so this, and then you will see an email from Lori Salib, because I received this from SHRM, which is our HR firm in Barnes and Thornburg. This actually came from Barnes and Thornburg, as you can see on the top. And they were letting all of us know that there was another exception to the final rule released for white-collar exemption. So what that is that there is
this one?
Yes. So what that is, and I'll just read this from Lori, because I sent this from Barnes and Thornburg and said, hey, is this really real? And she said, yes, it applies to non-exempt and exempt employees. The first adjustment increase on July 1st, the minimum salary threshold for exempt employees is now $43,880 annually. As of January 1st of 2025, the minimum salary increase will go to $58,656. Exempt employees making below the $43,888 will either become eligible for overtime status change to non-exempt or will need a salary adjustment.
So I was going to try to talk to council today about this because it's really going to affect our budget for next year because we don't really have overtime lines. But as we all know, most of all of us make way under $48,000. So, or, and so...
Even the
other two fish.
Yes. We don't get it.
And so that's going to make these people eligible for overtime, which we pay out in comp time. But then if they leave, then there's an overtime payout. So knowing that these increases are coming into light, I'm going to be bringing this before council, and or I'll have Teresa bring it before council, because they're going to have to make an adjustment in either your budget or in the council's budget for overtime funds, or they're going to have to raise people above that threshold to keep them exempt. So it's that's the way it and it's coming down the pipe. There's it's already here, and then it gets
a win-win.
Yes,
it is. Well, it's amazing how the federal government can give us an unfunded mandate.
Yes, sir.
And
don't
that's
you
what
just
it
love
is.
It?
It's going to increase our cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Have yep. a law nation.
That's right.
Hang on, baby. Trump's on the way. Trump's on the way. So you mean to tell you're telling me that the commissioners are the only ones here that are making over $58,000 a year?
That's right. What is it? Ron, you can ride to pick up your paycheck.
They'll have to give you an increase. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
There you go.
No, the commissioners don't get no increase.
3%, maybe.
All right, so that's coming your way, and I just wanted to let you know. All right, and so then the next thing on the agenda is there, and that's the paperwork that you have right there, Ron, is, I'm just going to read this to you because...
Stuff like that?
Yeah, I talked to Sandy because she's... called me, she texted me, and then had me call her back and read over this with her. So the new traffic signals will be installed at the intersection of State Road 46 and Brown County State Park East Entrance. This is a unique and urgent project coming from the governor that must be completed by the end of September. Please send a representative if you are unable to attend, and we will be meeting on site to discuss the plans and utility conflicts avoidance. I attach the KMZ file and plan to set this meeting invite for references. So the meeting is July 31st at 10 a.m. at the State Park entrance.
When?
Does it say east entrance?
Yes.
When, Melissa?
July 31st.
I picked up a little information on this.
North entrance?
Yeah, that's where the covered bridge.
Now, the state's paying for all that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's all coming from MnDOT. They're just forewarning us. It's coming.
It's a major ordeal.
Yeah.
They got to relocate gas lines and everything
else.
Yes,
it's going to be a big deal.
But there's no cost to us.
They're not asking us. They just want us to be there just so they can know that they've looked at someone that is from Brown County government. And that you know that this is going to disrupt your citizens because it's going to be a big ordeal.
What's the deal coming off O-46 onto that? Are they going to encroach onto O-46?
I have no clue. That's what this meeting will be for. That you see the drawings there, and I haven't even got to study them because this just came in yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, that's about as clear as mud, man.
Yeah, I know.
This will be a stoplight and not a roundabout.
I don't know.
A roundabout.
I'm sorry, it's a traffic calming device.
What?
Not a roundabout.
What time is it on the 31st, Melissa?
The 31st at 10 a.m. at the State Park entrance.
I just have a question or comment. I noticed they have pretty much finalized and completed the pedestrian crosswalk at 46-135 by CBS.
Yes.
But I noticed on the way in that off to my right, there's a sidewalk that shoots off of there a few feet, and then it drops about 8 feet into the sidewalk.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there plans to put a bridge there?
Okay, so
what's going to happen?
No, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I do know that Kathy was very aware of the
Kathy Eaton with NDOT.
Yeah, with NDOT. Yeah. She got a copy of that health, the state of Indiana's health department that
the plans that we just did for all three of those different trails. And she also called and said that she wants us to apply for the $58 million that's available. And it's awful funny that both of those trails to nowhere intercede right there where we plan on bringing those trails through. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think that there's a little something there. I think we should make sure that Whitney applies for those loans this fall. Yes. And they're not loans. They're actually don't even have a match. It's mm-hmm. DNR and NDOT.
They're not going to have a match?
Nope.
But Julia still has to be aware of all grants.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll have to still go through the same rigmarole. I mean, of all the things that have to be done to have a grant. But, yes, and then you have to apply, and then you have to wait to see if you get it. But wouldn't it just be nice if those bridges to somewhere went somewhere?
Well, let's see. I need to put that on my reminder list. It will no longer take me 8 minutes to get here. It will now take me probably 10 on occasion.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
If the lights are red.
Yeah. Don't feel lonely there, Jerry.
All right, so I'm done.
Okay, well, thank you very much for all that information. A little surprised that they're going to do it that quickly.
Yeah, so am I.
That's good, because
I think they do recognize that that's a problem intersection. We have some horrible wrecks there. And as bad as I hate to see another place to stop, it's probably in the public interest to do it that way.
And when the police have to go up there and do that, we pay them, I guess, but we pay them extra for that or whatever. So.
Yeah, directing traffic and all that.
Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
I don't know if that will.
Not that we got anything. Not we don't have any say in it. So
yeah,
we
might as well.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I think we're up for Eric.
I don't have any updates really since last week, since it was just a week. I do have a request though. I know we talked about a 5-year equipment purchase plan. Had a phone conversation briefly. I know we want to order a new truck next year, a dump truck. It's going to take a year to build, so we're going to delay us a little longer. Talking with Greg Garitas and the budget people, they said I've got money. So I found a truck. I'd like to use some of my cash that I've got available in my cash balances, transfer that over into my equipment purchase fund, purchase this dump truck that we need, and that way we can kind of get ahead of the game. And then we can still, next year, we can still do our plan, go ahead and order another truck. Buying this truck would get us 12 snowplow trucks, so that'd cover our 12 routes. Now, still, if we have a truck go down, we'll be down a truck, but it's closer to what we were.
County Council was screaming and yelling today.
Yeah, because
they thought this dollar amount's different than what was being said in the meeting.
I thought they were going to be hit with a request for another $325,000, and no, I think it's in your budget.
It's in my cash that's available.
That's not the first time they've been wrong on. So,
the truck that we found is in it's Kenworth, Ohio.
All the way around, big boy.
But it's on the lot. It's ready to go. It's plumbed for a snow plow and stuff, and we actually have a plow and probably a spreader as well for that truck.
Tandem.
We've got too many single axles. We don't need another.
What's it got on the hood? Cummins.
It's got Allison. Cummins. Yeah.
Allison. It's automatic.
Yep. Yeah.
Jerry's like, Jerry's
job in January.
I asked that we moved some money from my cash that's available into my fund 1176.
Which, 1176?
Yeah, which it's 0533 fund. And it's under purchase equipment 42602.
Payment
42602.
So when he makes this action from you guys, then it has to then be advertised and taken through council as the normal steps, because that's council correct. Will be the ultimate take it out of the cash fund and bring it up. But
yep. What's the
you
amount?
Guys are his boss. So.
So I'd like to ask for $250,000 for this.
It was $350 today.
I know.
I've already saved $100,000.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was like $236.
It's $233,643.
One more time.
It's $233,643. But we're going to have some costs going over there to get it. It's got a couple things that we need to change on it. It's got some fender flares that we need to take off because of our tire chains and stuff. We'll have to put some other mud flaps on. Just a couple minor things. I'd like to make sure we had enough money just in case. And also, if our spreader that we think we have available doesn't work with it, then we have the money to buy a new spreader.
The truck itself is $233.
The truck itself is $233,643.
Yeah.
And it's a 2024 Kenworth T480. So that's what I'd like.
Nice truck.
And then we, like I said, we can, when we order one next year, we're not waiting, you know, a year for it to be built.
I'm a little confused on which lines all we're supposed to be taking from and moving to. So if you go
to that. It's a cash that's in, I don't know what account it's in. Can you explain that?
It's in his cash balances. We can run the reports, Ron, and you can see which funds, because I have a feeling we'll have to move it from a few of them.
Okay. Because you're not going to be able to equip that with new equipment, a plow or a spreader, for the difference in the money. That difference in the money is just to get it before you put the plow and spreader on it. And if you had to buy a different plow, because I remember when Magna went through that, that even coming from Kenworth, they had trouble getting the plow with the electronics or so.
Yeah, it's ready for the plow. It's got the plow mount. It's got the plow mount and everything on it. We have a snow plow for that mount. Yeah. So that part's good to go.
Okay.
The spreader, we have a couple extra spreaders, but they're not, you know, to be honest, they're not in the greatest of shape.
I don't have a problem with it.
If we had to buy a spreader, we'd at least have enough money in that a purchase equipment fund to buy it. And without me coming back and saying, hey, okay, I do have to buy a spreader.
Just for the public's information, we could buy a cheaper truck, but what they're buying is a truck that will essentially as a semi-tractor. This has an all-aluminum cab and a fiberglass nose on it. This truck has piano hinge doors on it that are good for a million miles. You can buy a truck with just, you know, plain old truck for less money, but it'd be a poor investment in my opinion.
It'd be like our, have to use it. Be like our other old Internationals where the dashes fell out of them.
Yeah.
So. And a good positive note, so all the old stuff that I've been telling you we've been selling, it's all gone. Every bit of it's gone. The only thing left is an old police Ford Explorer, which isn't ours anyway, that we're having an issue with the title. But everything else, all the trucks that we had sitting back there for years, are gone.
Oh, good.
A little over $13,000, almost $14,000 worth of stuff that was sold. So, the last truck left today.
All of it over like $13,000? What are those single action dump trucks that are sitting out there in Sterling Spring for trucks?
When we shut the door on those, when we moved them, the air tanks fell off of them. I mean, every door we shut, rocker panels were falling off of.
Yeah, I've seen how rough they were, but what did they bring per truck? Those two last dump trucks?
I can give you the report.
Because
one of those Sterlings was
10,000.
One of those Sterlings was about $2,000, and one was 1,200.
And the other two trucks you're thinking about getting rid of, you're going to keep the bed on the one that looked decent?
If I don't get enough for it, I'm definitely keeping that bed as a backup bed. I've got a guy that's coming actually tomorrow to give me some sort of estimate what he thinks the value of those trucks are worth.
Yeah.
That'll give us a starting point.
Yeah.
So.
And you got the insurance canceled on them already?
Yep.
A little money ahead there.
Yep, got that all submitted and taken care of. And yeah, it's all gone. It does look a lot better. We got a lot more cleaning up to do, but it looks a lot better.
So what's this motion going to look like for the $250,000? Let's get this clear.
So I would just say that you agree that he can purchase. Yeah, and that he's to go to council. That's what I would say.
Well, I agree that he can purchase the dump truck and allow $250,000 so it can go to the council for approval. It's not like it's coming from their money.
I agree also.
I as well.
It's not in the form of a motion. It's just we're giving the tip of the hat.
It's like $60,000-$70,000 in finance charges if it was to finance this truck.
There you go. There's your selling point right there.
Yeah, yeah. There's no reason to finance it. No. So, and it's sitting ready to go. So
we keep the money instead of the bank.
Absolutely. Yeah. Man, use the money we got available.
Well, young man, we appreciate what you do, and we fully supportive of you, and we wish you the best luck. I think you're going to be a good superintendent, if not a great one.
Thank you. I appreciate the support.
Many years to come. I did want to add, too, that I've had multiple calls of people bragging on the work that was done out there on Bear Creek and Brainstead or whatever that is out there. Everybody's tickled to death. Really, really nice work out there.
Yeah, they'll be doing the gravel edges probably, I think, the rest of this week.
Yeah.
And then next week they'll start on Beach Street. So they got Beach Street and Spring.
Well done, sir.
And one thing I do want to mention that has been said is that some people have said that since Eric has been there that he's just spending money. But there were how many trucks that are now on the road that we had purchased years ago that are now on the road? You didn't buy them. They were already there.
There were three new trucks that hadn't been driven since before me. One of them was a...
Before you were born?
No. one of them was a 2021, and 180 miles was all it had on it. Wow. We ended up having to spend a couple $1,000s just putting batteries and,
I bet,
and service on it. But everything we've got now, big truck-wise, is plated, ready to go. We're still waiting on the two smaller trucks that we bought in 18 that we never titled for some reason. But that's it. Everything
so when people moving. See them, it's just because he's just now got them out and moving. It wasn't new purchases.
Just one other question I have for you, and that is, how is your personnel? Are you having enough people, or are you?
So I've talked with Julie a little bit, and we do have some spots that we've got to get with council, make sure we're going to get funded. So I think I've got open spots, and we do want to fill those spots.
Okay.
At least three.
Okay.
So that's, and we've got some applications coming in. So I actually have three right now, just waiting to make sure that we got the green light and we can go. So
I'd like to see our department back up to pretty much full speed again.
Yeah. Yep.
We've gone years with half a crew, and that didn't work out real well. So
yeah.
Appreciate your efforts.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're at the end of the agenda.
Logan, is there anything else?
Mike, you have anything for us?
No, thanks.
Anybody
else in the audience?
Is there anything else to come before the Board of Commissioners tonight? Anyone in the audience have anything? This is your chance.
Going.
Then I would entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second that.
Motion and second. All in favor? Thank you.
So that was that painful one.